Ukraine's first military ombudsman, has just been to South Africa. We speak to Ola Reshetilova. Welcome.
Good morning, good day, and thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Before I talk about your appointment and your role going forward, I would love to ask you whether you think President Cyril Ramaphosa will be a credible mediator, considering South Africa's, or in particular, the African National Congress's long and historic ties with Russia?
This is a quite complicated question, you know, but what I'm definitely sure about that, you know, like this war won't end without South Africa. We need your participation. We need your understanding, deep understanding of this war, that for Ukraine, this war is post-colonial. And this is something that South Africans understand very well. And also this war is for our common future. Because Ukraine is fighting against the network of authoritarian regimes, which relies on power. But we need in our future, in our common future of the world, we need to rely on law, on democracy. So in this future, which China, Russia, Iran, and other authoritarian regimes see, there will be no place for, unfortunately, for African countries, because this is a future for a world of power. Unfortunately, we as Ukraine, US, South Africa, don't have enough power to defeat them. So we need to build the world of rule of law. They don't want us to do this. That's why this is our common war. This is our common fight. And that's why we hope very much that African countries will join us in this fight. Not with the armed forces, but diplomatic way. That's why we rely on African countries very much. South Africa, firstly, as the most influential state in African continent. So I hope for deep understanding, let's say, from your president, from your government, that we will do this together.
How do you feel about the role of United States President Donald Trump? Do you think he will be able to broker a deal that will protect or respect Ukraine's territorial integrity?
One more complicated question, because everything is very unpredictable now in our times, let's say, and the United States role and President Trump's role is crucial. Not only for Ukraine, for the whole world, have like his understanding as well, to have influence on his view is not easy when it comes to Russian propaganda, to Russian influence from different side. They work, unfortunately, we have to recognize it. They work well, very professional when it comes to influence on people's mind. And the President Trump is one of a human. So he's also sometimes, from time to time, he's also listening to this propaganda. And for previous months, we see that fortunately, he started to understand more about what's going on, about what this war began, that this is not about like a fight of two presidents, let's say, or something. This is about surviving of European nation, which p- post-colonial nation. This is about building a new democracy. I hope he understood this. That's why we have more and more support from the United States. I don't know what his role will be, but I see that the whole world see that he really, really wants to end the war. But to end the war, you have to defeat the authoritarian regime in Russia. So I believe that he will realize that, and he will do this way, not just to sit down to president on to the one table and say to them, like, please make a deal. This is not about that. This is about war of surviving and war of postcolonial metropolia and postcolonial country.
Now, you are the first military ombudsman for the Ukraine. Why were you appointed, and what exactly is your role?
You know, as a human rights defender, I've been used to be a human rights defender for a decade, and I've been advocating for the establishing of a military ombuds institution in Ukraine for almost 10 years, since the war in Ukraine began in 2014, because our army start to grow. We have more and more problems. Unfortunately, in Ukraine, we have this post-Soviet heritage in our armed forces, like when every soldier is the slave of his commander. This is a huge, huge problem. When the large-scale invasion started, since that time we have half a million militaries in Ukraine. That is this is a huge category of population together with their families. They like it's about 4 million people who need support. They are they have a lot of restrictions in their life because of their serving, and it means that they need additional tools for protecting of their rights and liberties. So that was my point since I started working on this at the very beginning of war. As a human rights defender, I did a lot of investigations about grave violations of human rights inside the armed forces. In previous year, if I'm not mistaken, President Zelensky declared that establishing of a military ombuds institution was his priority on 2025. We draft a law. He appointed me as his commissioner first in 2024. And my first task was to draft a law about military ombuds institution. So we did that. We passed the law to the parliament. We had a lot of discussions about the model of these institutions, and that it took several months for to the parliament to make a decision until people went onto the streets with protests. They asked, "Where is the military ombudsman? Why didn't we have this institution?" So, as my colleagues from different countries said, that was the first time in the world history that the military ombuds institution was demanded by protests. This is because the violations of human rights inside the armed forces is a huge problem inside the armed forces. So this is because we really need this institution, and that's why. The parliament made this decision immediately after the protests, and several weeks ago, the institution was established. I'm not appointed yet formally because I have passed the check of our security service. So I passed it previous week, and I come back from South Africa, and I hope today or tomorrow I will be appointed formally by the president.
So tell us about your visit to South Africa.
That was great. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone and South African military ombuds for a warm hospitality. That was very nice. More than 40 countries participated in this event. And I think this is very symbolic that South Africa hosts this event for the second time. By the way, the first was in 2019. So we had a lot of bilateral meetings with our colleagues, a very meaningful conference about awareness, about how to reach out people with our problematic, how to communicate with our audience, how this was very meaningful and very important for me, as a newly appointed, to see different practices. I was impressed, for example, from my colleague from Malawi. She's a very bright person who's fighting corruption in the armed forces of Malawi, and I'm sure that this is this need of a huge braveness to do this, and she is very straight. She is talking about their problems very honestly, and I like this. And the same with the South African ombuds. I think he's this is like the end, the end of his cadency, of his being appointed, but he did a lot for recognition of South African institutions in the world, and everybody knows him from colleagues from different countries, and this is also very important that South African institution is one of very active in this network of military ombuds institutions of the world.
So apart from human rights abuses in the military in Ukraine, what about corruption?
This is not like my mandate, because we have different anti-corruption institutions, but to protect people when they want to report about some facts, to help them to connect with different anti-corruption institutions, this is my task. So we do this, and I had, I think, two or three compliances about corruption in different units. It's not like a huge state corruption, let's say, but in different units. So we worked together with the anti-corruption institutions and started investigation. And I hope that in the nearest future, we will have criminal proceeding about that. So, but my task is not to investigate anti-corruption itself. My task is to protect the servicemen who reported about this fact.
Now, lastly, do you have any message for NATO?
My message for NATO is to join Ukraine, you know. I have a lot of different meetings with our international partners. They all are very interested in our experience in what we have, how we do this. I went to the Netherlands and met their inspector general, who is like my colleague in the armed forces, and we talked a lot about whether their country is prepared for war is needed. And my conclusion is that not really, you know, because they don't really understand the scale of problems they will have. I hope they will never have, but if something happened, if the war started, if they will need to join the war, starting from notification about casualties, which is very important, how to do this, how to communicate with families of killed soldiers, of missing persons, of POWs, prisoners of war. And I don't know, ending with the situation with, I don't know, DNA test. We need to test every serviceman with DNA if in case of casualties, how to identify bodies and so on. About trainings, the war is changing daily, and we need to understand how to train soldiers properly to be effective on the battlefield. For example, now there is no such a huge need in artillery, but more in using drones, and how to survive, how infantry has to survive being attacked by drones every minute. How to do this? How to understand that you won't have rotation maybe for months, and you will stay in the front position for so long, for more than 100 days. You will be delivered with food, water, medicine by drones as well, and you will provide the medical treatment by yourself. You won't have like medics around, so you have to be trained with the skills at the very beginning, but also this is a mental preparation. You have to be prepared mentally for surviving. This is something that I'm not sure that different armed forces all over the world understand. This is about understanding the new way of war. This is something that Ukraine can provide to our partners, because nobody except Ukraine and Russia has experience now. Unfortunately, we have this experience, and we are interested that our partners will be prepared for this situation if needed. That's why it is not a joke, my invitation to the NATO countries to join Ukraine. this is absolutely that I mean. We can share our experience. We can prepare you for a new war.
Because you have indeed revolutionized warfare.
Yes, this is something that we had to do, and we have to do daily, because we need to survive. We need to, you know, when somebody asks me about what is the main right of the servicemen of Ukrainian defense forces, I say that the main right is the right to victory. They deserve victory. So to defeat our enemy, which is stronger in many times, you know, we need to be very creative. We need to change our armed forces very quickly. We need to, yes, to do revolution. But this revolution is been doing every day, daily, because we need to change something. We need to be like faster than our enemy. We're not every time successful in this, unfortunately, and that brings us too many casualties, and this is our like daily pain. And feeling this pain, we have this. This is something that pushes us to be more creative, to find new ways, to find something that will help us to win.
Thank you. That was Ukraine's first military ombudsman, Ola Reshetilova, speaking to BizNews. I'm Chris Stein. Thank you, Ola.
Thank you.